the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Aloha.
Aloha. Yes, it feels like aloha outside, doesn't it?
You wish it was aloha.
I don't think so.
Not even close.
Hey, look, it got me hopping this morning. One foot out the door. I was quick to get in the car and go to work. Y'all, today is the feast of Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro. So we'll begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our God and Father, who conferred upon your servant, Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro, the grace of ardently seeking your greater glory and the salvation of others, grant through his intercession and example that by faithfully and joyfully performing our daily duties and effectively assisting those around us, we may serve you with zeal and ever seek your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro, pray for us. Y'all, this is some tall orders here. We're going to be faithfully and joyfully performing our daily duties. We do that every day,
we
right?
We do it every day.
Yes. We do it every day.
Right.
And effectively assisting those around us. I love this prayer.
Yeah.
Let's keep some zeal for the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have some great guests today. We're joined by Jeremiah Harrison. He talked to us just a few days ago, really, about the illustrated liturgical calendars. You guys, I got mine in the mail a few days ago, and they are so detailed, so beautiful, that we had to have him on to talk about the meaning of them and each picture. And fear not, it does come with a kind of like a legend, a guide, a guidebook on the illustrations and everything like that he did by hand. So Jeremiah is going to tell us about those. And Corey Howitt joins us. He's executive director of the Catholic Community Foundation in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And we're talking about I Give Catholic, which is coming up in a week. Wow. Yes. Okay. A week from today. It is Tuesday. So I'm excited to talk to Corey about that. And musician David St. Romain joins us in our Baton Rouge studio to talk about his faith journey through music. That's going to be a great interview.
Yeah. Looking forward to having David in the studio. In the meantime, hopefully you're looking forward to a very cool, crisp day, because that's what you're going to get. As they say, hey boy, it's exciting out there. And it's going to be a good one. Sunny skies, though. It will be a warm afternoon, about 65 for the high, low 42. So again, dress warm, especially this morning as you leave. Tomorrow, actually going to be 10 degrees warmer.
Wow.
It's going to switch pretty quickly. And then looking ahead to Thanksgiving, because I know a lot of us are making plans now, it's going to be a wet turkey day in our area, 70% chance of rain, primarily in the afternoon. And then that's going to be followed by pretty much temperatures that you're experiencing today. You're going to get Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and no rain expected. So shouldn't be too bad of a Thanksgiving weekend, not counting Thanksgiving, but that's always fun, rain or shine, right? You're that's with family and friends. That's just a good time to celebrate. Temperatures in the area currently right now, home at Thibodeau, 46. New Orleans is the warm spot, 50 degrees. Baton Rouge and Gulfport, it's 43. Pretty chilly in our areas right now. I also want to get out a plug. Chalmette, 48 degrees. Luling, 49. We have listeners there, too.
Chalmette, the motherland, right?
Yeah, you're right, baby. All right, we're going to be back with more on Wake Up on this Tuesday morning. Don't go away. Stay there.
Thank you.
A good Tuesday morning to you. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 21. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen, and what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The Jerusalem temple is one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was made of huge stones covered with gold plates, so that it would seem to shine and glow with the brilliance of the sun. And therefore it was a natural reaction to marvel at the magnificence of the structure. Jesus, however, looked below the surface of the temple's external beauty. The people's pride, avarice, and unbridled sexuality festered like a virulent cancer that would lead them to rejecting the Son of God and declaring, "We have no king but Caesar." As for Jesus, well, crucify him. The temple was dedicated to be God's house, but sin made it the abode of demons. So to those who look in wonder and awe, Jesus predicted, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." This occurred in 40 years when Roman legions destroyed the city and its temple. The stunned disciples assumed that the Jerusalem temple of God would endure to the end of the world, rather than the end of a world. And therefore they asked Jesus, "When will this happen? And what will the signs be when all these things are about to happen?" Jesus' response was directed to both their questions and the one about the destruction of the temple, for that was what was meant by those things, and the other predicts the end of the world, which they wrongly assume would coincide with the destruction of the temple. The persecution of the church from enemies within and without, as is our experience today, will give faithful Christians an opportunity to witness to their faith. We should not worry, but we need to set our hearts at rest and rely on God's ever-present help. Jesus will protect us. Yes, Christians will suffer, but in the end, God will bring them into his kingdom. So, we need not be afraid. We need not be anxious. Only faithful in bad times. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. It is 7:11 on a Tuesday morning in our area, and hopefully you're going to have a great day. I know we're working at it. It's November 23rd. For those of you trying to figure out what day of the year it is, it's almost over, I can tell you that. And for those of you who want to been wanting to go to an Acts retreat, you have an opportunity. Now, keep in mind, the Acts retreat for men in this one in Baton Rouge is set for February 17th, 2022. It's a long way away, people are saying. I understand that. But if you don't register by December 19th, you're not going to go anyway. So go ahead, make plans, and register. You have to register online. If you've never been to an Acts retreat, the whole intent of the Acts retreat is to provide an opportunity for a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the retreat is to promote Christ-centered discipleship and build parish community. And and this is great for men. Sometimes you can go to Manresa, but men retreats aren't very often. So that's why I wanted to get that out there. If you'd like to participate and you want to be a part of the Acts retreat, go to www.st-george.org STGeorge.com/axman-retreat. I know that's a mouthful, but hey, STGeorge.org/axman-retreat. And you'll be able to register. It's the only way you could do it. I'm not giving out a phone number because it won't help.
But I bet you can call St. George and they'll help you out.
And yeah, right? Yeah, they will. Yeah. They'll lead you where you need to go. They'll give you the same website or area to register as I did.
Very good.
Yeah. And another fun thing happening is the Magnificat Advent Breakfast, and that is being held on Saturday, December the 11th from 9 a.m. to noon at the Airport Hilton in Kenner. And one of my favorites, Father Sidney Speaks, will be there. He is a pastor of St. Joseph the Worker in Marrero. The cost is $25, and you can register and learn more about the breakfast actually on our events calendar at ccradio.live under events. So ccradio.live under events. So highly encouraged. I love Father Speaks. He's the best. Nice. He's so great.
That sounds great. Well, before that, but you can also find out about it on our event calendar, is our women's retreat that Catholic Community Radio is hosting at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center. That is this Saturday, the 27th. Now, today is the last day. You have until noon today. So it's a women's retreat. So if ladies, if you have not made your reservations and you want to attend, please make your reservation this morning before noon, because we will close reservations for My Soul in Stillness Waits Women's Retreat at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center. So check that out at ccradio.live. You know, something else is happening at Cypress Springs for some younger people, and that is Las Posadas is coming. That's a Spanish tradition. It is precious. If you haven't been, bring your children, plan to go. It's Sunday, December 5th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center, Sister Dulce's Ministry. That's on George O'Neill Road. You just go all the way down to the end of George O'Neill, and you are at Cypress Springs. It's precious. You'll walk with the three wise men, the shepherds, in search for the Holy Family and baby Jesus. Afterwards, children will visit with St. Nicholas, Bubbles the Camel, petting zoo, aww, pony rides, funnel cakes, you name it. It's going to be a great time. That's Sunday, December 5th at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center. You can go to their website and check that out. Again, that's Saturday, December 5th. Lots of fun things coming up. We will be back after the break. It is 7:15. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 23rd. Today we celebrate Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro. Those who outlawed the Catholic Church in Mexico did not count on the deeply rooted faith of its people and the willingness of many of them, like the man we remember today, to die as martyrs. Born into a prosperous, devout Mexican family in 1891, as a child Miguel was known for his sweet disposition. 3 years after entering the Society of Jesus, religious persecution forced him to leave Mexico and continue his studies in Spain. Immediately following his ordination in 1925, Father Pro returned to Mexico, where anti-clericalism was still in place. Forced to go underground, he celebrated Mass in secret, administering the sacraments to small groups of Catholics. Along with his brother Roberto, Father Pro was arrested in November 1927 on trumped-up charges of attempting to assassinate Mexico's president. Roberto was spared, but Miguel was sentenced to face a firing squad, awaiting his fate in front of a large crowd of onlookers. Viva Cristo Rey, or Long Live Christ the King, were the last words uttered by Miguel Pro before he was executed. Pope John Paul II beatified him in 1988. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning at 7:18 on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. Viva Cristo Rey.
Hey, I love that.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're joined this morning by our friend Jeremiah Harrison. Jeremiah is going to, we visited with him, I think last week or the week before, talking about the illustrated liturgical calendars that he and his wife and her sisters have produced, and they are amazing. Good morning, Jeremiah.
Good morning, you guys.
It's great to have you back.
Hey, it's good to come back. Thanks for having me again.
Great. Well, so let's give folks who missed our interview with you last time, let's tell them a little bit about the illustrated liturgical calendar. We're all used to the big circle calendar that we've seen in schools and in different places around the diocese. But tell us what makes your liturgical calendar unique.
Well, we wanted to make something a little more detailed than that. Really, this calendar was a response to a need we perceive to help families be able to enter into the liturgical year, especially children. My wife really has a heart for what can we put up and make for children. So the idea is this calendar is fully illustrated for each and every day. You have a saint or the feast day or the fairy of that day, and there's frame elements all around. So every calendar, it's almost like a little piece of illustrated architecture. The idea is we're trying to bring to life the liturgical year within the home. That's why our little apostolate we call Liturgy of the Home. And this calendar we're hoping is kind of the first of a few different things we want to make over time that families could use to keep to help the faith grow in the home, because we have to live our Catholic faith every single day.
That is beautiful. So your wife Michaela finds these images for each image, and they're from different time periods. Is that correct, Jeremiah?
So
okay,
yes. No, my connection is kind of funny.
Oh, sorry.
We're Benedictine oblates, and one of a great work, Dom Granger's The Liturgical Year, has kind of become our main cornerstone we base this off. So my wife, we're reading through Dom Granger's work. We read because he has written for every single day of the liturgical year. Mm-hmm. But she also, we search through different imagery that within the Catholic art world, both East and West, classical, medieval, even icons, and she pulls them all together and she sort of synthesizes them. So when you see an illustration of like St. Lucy on the Advent calendar, she's looked through several different images of St. Lucy as depicted, and she's pulling elements and she sort of makes her original composition based on that. And then the images from the Gospels that you see on Sundays. So it's a bit of it's like a synthesis. I think that's what makes this work unique.
That is beautiful. So she selects these images of saints that are taken from medieval and classical art, and then she and her sisters, Michaela and her sisters, hand watercolor the images or color them?
Well, most of this is done with a watercolor gouache paint, so it's all hand-painted. She designs digitally on our computer, on a tablet, but we can print that out, those lines out, so that way it can be all hand-painted and then rescanned in. But it's painted in pieces so that it could be digitally assembled together. So each year we're able to rearrange and update the imagery, make it more sharper, make it clearer every day we go through.
That's beautiful. Now, Jeremiah, we're visiting with Jeremiah Harrison. He's talking about the illustrated liturgical calendars. Sophia Institute publishes these, and it's not too late to order them so you have one in time for Advent. Is that right, Jeremiah?
You're probably right on the line if you're actually going to get it, but we're covering the whole year.
Okay.
So even if you jump in now, there's still Christmas and Epiphany, and then we're going to go forward into Lent and to Easter. So
yes.
I think it's never too late to begin.
Wonderful. So tell our listeners how they can get them, because I know they come in different series, so you can subscribe to a subscription.
So because we're actually illustrating it actively still.
Okay.
So right now we're releasing it in four volumes. Volume 1 is the Christmas cycle. Volume 2 will be the Easter cycle, which will have Septuagesima, Lent, and Easter. Volume 3 will be the beginning of Pentecost and the time after Pentecost. And Volume 4 will be the rest of time after Pentecost unto the end of the liturgical year, where it will start over again.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, Jeremiah, when you all came up with this idea for a new, more detailed version of our liturgical calendar, tell us what audience you were thinking about when you and Michaela came up with this beautiful idea.
anyone who wants to grow deeper in the faith, who wants to become more rooted in our tradition and the history, really for us, I mean, she drew this for us first. You know, we're married, we have a young family, 4 children, 1 on the way, and we felt the need to have some things in our home that could help center us and help us, you know, stay aware. There's so, you know, our modern lives are very busy and there's so much noise. Even out here, you know, we live out in the country near the monastery, we still find it to be a struggle.
Yes.
For people like us, is who she intended it for.
That's beautiful. So on the calendar itself, and specifically during Lent and Advent on the calendar, the pieces of art, and if you're watching on our live feed, you can see an image of one of the calendars. But you can see that the calendar has a wood for Advent and Lent, has a somewhat of a wood framing around us. Tell us about the importance of that, and the other frames of all the other artwork.
Every season has its unique, you know, different things that the church would have us meditate on during that season. So the whole liturgical year is we're reliving all of the events of the life of Christ, of the life of the church. And so an Advent has traditionally been a time of penance and preparation for the coming of Christ. And so we've tried to choose materials and colors that would reflect the attitude of that season. So Advent being a penitential season, that's why we chose wood to be sort of thinking of the cross. And also, we wanted people to see the link between the wood of Advent and the wood used during Lent as to identify those as being penitential seasons. And then Christmas, you have this brilliant gold. You know, this is the coming of the King of the universe into this world. And so there's kind of almost a juxtaposition, though, because you have the gold, but then, of course, the scene is our Lord coming into the manger in the cave in such a lowly means. Mm-hmm. But, you know, spiritually, it's so rich. And so each of the seasons, we try to capture some of, and this is really coming from Dom Guéranger and the Missal and Liturgy as to the attitudes for each of these seasons.
So beautiful. Share with our listeners how they can subscribe to your beautiful liturgical calendars.
But if you go to Sophia Institute Press, go to their website, you can order the physical copies. You could either order a single set or you could get a subscription, which will have each volume sent to you as it comes out. That's the best way to get the physical copies, but you can also check out our website at Liturgy of the Home. We have a digital membership. We have folks from other countries. We have folks from Europe and others who want to get the calendars, and shipping is quite difficult. Some of those folks might be interested in the digital membership, but we also have other things such as coloring pages for each day, monthly dedication images. So those are the two ways to really look at.
That's wonderful. So tell us your website one more time.
Liturgyofthehome.com.
Liturgyofthehome.com. So you can also check out Sophia Institute. It's beautiful. So you receive the first batch is four 18 by 24 fully colored and illustrated liturgical calendar posters. So I believe you can also order a hanging mechanism for it as well. So you can also on the Sophia Institute website, you can preview the Advent 2021 calendar poster there. So Jeremiah, what a beautiful treat. I would encourage all of our listeners to go and check that out. You will not be disappointed. There are so many details, so much beauty in these amazing liturgical calendars. And what a wonderful way for children of all ages, even us, Damien. Yeah. We would even get it.
Kids at heart.
That's right. That's right. There are so many wonderful little details that have to do with what's going on in our liturgical calendar at that time. So Jeremiah Harrison, thank you so much for joining us. And thank your lovely wife, Michaela, too, for this beautiful gift you have given our church. This is Jeremiah Harrison, Illustrated Liturgical Calendar. Check it out at Sophia Institute. com. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too. And yeah, we intend this work to be for children from 0 to 99.
Perfect. Perfect. And even if you're 100, I bet you'll enjoy it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Gabby, you were just sharing with us over the break that you just received your first batch of four. So are they even more beautiful in person, I'm assuming?
Yes, and they're humongous. So it's very overwhelming at first because you think of, like you said, the calendar circle that's very, you know, you can fit in your hand. But I'm so glad that they include a booklet, kind of like a legend, to tell you the meaning of each picture. And it is just gorgeous illustrations. Ours is hanging up, so we're excited to start the season with them.
Yes, 18 by 24, so it's a nice size, beautiful artwork. So check it out, SophiaInstitute.com. It's actually on their homepage. You can just click the beautiful calendar right there. So what an amazing, you will not be disappointed. Go check it out. We're so happy you're joining us this morning on Wake Up at 7:30.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Abortion advocates are again bitterly disappointed that the U.S. Supreme Court denied intervention in the judicial review process through which new laws must pass. It is clear they, along with abortion-friendly media outlets, want abortion to be guaranteed everywhere all the time, and the High Court would not accommodate by issuing even a ruling for now. Over the almost 80 days being in place, the Texas heartbeat abortion ban has likely spared over 3,000 children's lives. People with Texas birth certificates born over the next 9 months will likely have a lot to say about abortion and politics in the years to come. This is Life News Radio. News at Life News Radio should make you think, and often it should make you think about calling your elected officials in Washington, D.C. So remember this phone number, 202-224-3121. Let your senators, your representatives, hear from you. 202-224-3121. Arithmetic can teach someone to count. It takes logic or science or even theology or other disciplines to know what to count. No matter how one counts, if you look to see the unique and irreplaceable human lives lost in abortion, you have the greatest tragedy the world has known. Period. Just take COVID and look at the efforts made, the businesses, churches, schools closed, and the deaths total 5.1 million over 2 years. In far less than half that time, just in 2021, induced abortions worldwide total 38 million. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is 7:35 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Over the phone, we have Corey Howitt. Corey is the Executive Director of the Catholic Community Foundation in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today we're talking about I Give Catholic on Giving Tuesday, which is a week away. I'm getting my days all mixed up, so I can't believe that we're finally getting close to Giving Tuesday. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, y'all. How are y'all?
Great.
We're doing great. It's so great to talk to you today. So give us details. Well, we have been speaking about I Give Catholic for weeks now, but we're getting close to that giving day.
Yes, and it's a great day for Catholic Community Radio and a great day for Catholic Community Foundation as we host the I Give Catholic. And dioceses all over the country now are hosting their own days. And it's just amazing to be able to see this time of year. A way to be generous, to be able to help support the favorite ministries in your life, the things that bring God's work to life. And here we are, another year, another great day coming up with people being beyond generous and really helping transform these organizations to do the greatest work in our community.
Okay, let's talk about I Give Catholic was started in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and it is incredible to see how much it has grown. Tell us about the new ministries or some of them and how every year it's just a pile on of new dioceses participating in this day of giving.
It is. It's so fun to see because in the reality of the work that we do, we know that we need financial support along with spiritual and ministerial hands and feet to be able to make our ministries come to life. And one of those is obviously with giving. And money does help really bring the ministries that we support care and ability to be able to bring their ministries out. And you have ministries that say, hey, this is a great way to connect, to build community. It's not just about the giving, but really about the gifts that we can bring. And so it's a great invitation to be able to support the great work. The neat part is there's some really neat ministries that have come on this year, the St. Louis Art Society, and many other things that have really brought giving to life for all these groups. And even we have a Black Catholic Messenger is a new one. Shoot, across the country, we have the whole Archdiocese of St. Louis that has come on this year.
Wow.
So, I mean, it is just really neat to see it just explode across the country, of seeing this great idea of connecting generous donors with ministries that transform their community.
Yeah, and across our listening area, take a look. A lot of dioceses across our listening area are participating, so take a look at that. Corey, tell us, with Hurricane Ida, recovery efforts still going on, how important is it to really take a look at those ministries, schools, and parishes that really need our help this giving season?
Absolutely. Especially when you start to look at those that are stressed, ministries already stressed a lot of times financially with COVID. And then when you add Ida's impact across, especially the Gulf South, deep in the areas right along the coast, sometimes it's a silent scream. They don't have the ability to reach beyond their own communities to share about their needs. And this is what's so great about iGiveCatholic, is you can go easily search through the map on iGiveCatholic.org, find the ministry that really makes a difference for you, drill down into the map, find a community down at on the Gulf Coast, a parish, a ministry that's serving the poor, feeding the hungry down there. And you can make an immediate impact and kind of connect to them in ways that you've never been able to before. So that's the neat part of with iGiveCatholic. You could find and explore ways easily to see who's kind of making the biggest impact on the ground in those areas that are hit. Again, on top of already COVID-struck areas, you have Ida that has really put a lot of people in a tough spot.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about the importance of advanced giving, which is actually happening right now.
Exactly. So it helps just build momentum, right? So the giving day is one day, but we know that a lot of organizations use this as a way of kind of doing their annual appeal or other ways to push through to invite others. So the platform opens up 2 weeks early, and that period is right now. And so it allows organizations to kind of build momentum, invite people to go onto the website, again, iGiveCatholic.org, and you can go find all these ministries that are kind of sharing their story in ways that you can get involved financially and, like I said, other ways also.
Absolutely. So we were also supposed to be joined by Natalie J. Rowe today from Second Harvest Food Bank. They have been instrumental during the pandemic and with Hurricane Ida, with providing food and meals to those in need.
Yes. No. And Natalie, not only is she such a great disciple and a wonderful leader for their organization, but, they serve a 28 parish area across South Louisiana. That does even the most basic food that what Matthew 25 calls us to, which is to feed the hungry. And they do that in such a way that they're efficient, they're organized, they leverage other dollars to be able to do that. And so I could give you the greatest commercial for them just because they're such an efficient supplier of food to so many that are on the brink of being insecure in food, but also how that affects other parts of their lives. So, yes, for Second Harvest and the many ministries that feed across, many of those participate in iGiveCatholic. And so it's a great way to dive in there, search for hunger, and you could find the many ways that you could feed people across the area.
So we have a question. Do the charities get 100% of the donations, or is there an admin fee and a minimum required amount for gift giving?
So this year we dropped the giving down to $20 as a minimum gift. It used to be $25, just to be able to make that threshold for giving a little easier for people if that is the case. But again, generosity, I always say generosity isn't just for the rich. Generosity is for everybody. And so even a $20 gift combined with other people's giving can really make an impact. So that is one way to really make a difference immediately. And then as far as the fees are going, that's the great part. Just like anything, when you go order your favorite shirt on Amazon, there's a fee to it, right? And so what you do is you go and find what we've given people the great ability for is the nonprofit would normally have to pay that. But the donor, we've found 92% of donors have given and paid for the fee when they're checking out and making their donation. And so it's a great way for donors to offset that fee just as part of their gift. And so it's really neat to see that kind of come alive, not only for the giving, but also to be able to help the organization make the platform present. Because we know that technology really helps reach an audience that we can't afford not to be in. And so so it's really neat to be able to see how donors have stepped up and covered that cost for organizations across the board.
Corey, we have about a minute left. Why should people give Catholic this year?
Well, it's not just this year, right? It's always. I'm just a big fan of generosity. Generosity is one of the greatest things that we can do to mimic God's love, right? He loved us first, and all we can do at this point is make a return. And so in that spirit, you know, you go in there and you just find ways, excited ways to be able to make a return to folks. Find stuff that's new, maybe a new ministry that you're called to support. Find something like this that's over the airways evangelized. Those kind of things really help take the very little part of our community and make them come alive. And so I give Catholic that it's so neat to see the church in every space of human condition serving and helping people from spiritual direction to your parish, to the schools that educate, and to the thousands of ministries that just do great work across our communities. It's fun to be a part of. It's fun to watch people be generous. And so join the movement. Be generous. It's one of the great gifts of humankind. It's one of the secrets to our happiness when we give it away. So join in the happiness and generosity revolution. Jump in.
Perfect. IGiveCatholic.org is where you can go and actually start giving today. But actually, we'll be talking to Corey again on the actual giving day, Giving Tuesday, November 30th. Corey Howitt, Executive Director of the Catholic Community Foundation in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Happy Thanksgiving.
Amen. Oh, thanks,
my goodness. Gary. Yes, David St. Romain joins us in our Baton Rouge studio after the break. It is 7:45 on Wake Up.
Great way to get this segment started.
Wow,
that is the
beautiful
voice of David St. Romain, musician, songwriter, and just an all-around nice guy, fellow ACTS member with myself. He and I made it together a couple of years back. And Dave, welcome to Wake Up, and thanks for being with us this morning, brother.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, everybody hears about your music. Everybody sees your music videos and your performances in and around the Baton Rouge area, really across the state and elsewhere. But what's deep down? That's what we're going to talk about today. What's the faith life and journey of David St. Romain?
Ooh, that's a roller coaster. I think, like all of us, you know, I was raised as a cradle Catholic, born in Alexandria, but with a family from Avoyelles Parish, very strong Catholic family. And, you know, like a lot of us guys my age, I think we came in a generation out of the baby boomers, and there was a lot of opportunities to veer off and go elsewhere, like there's been forever. But I think that's just been more acceptable. And I think that I definitely found my way out into the abyss. And I think music and just, you know, having children, gratitude, a daily walk of just understanding what is priority has really helped me to come back to where I'm at.
Yeah. And your music, of course, touches on all aspects. But more importantly, let's talk a little bit about community because you bring your music to community, whether it's an advocacy group or helping the state of Louisiana. Share with us a little bit about what you're doing these days.
Okay, I appreciate it. So up until about 2017, I had really just been playing music and did a little side work to pay some Catholic school bill. But, you know, we mainly was just focused on playing music only, and it was all self-generated. I found that, you know, I realized about 2017 that I had just been really selfish in everything I had been doing. It was all about myself and just this dream to be a star. And I realized, you know, when I hit my knees and I was in my bedroom one day holding my son, just begging for forgiveness in that moment. Wow. It was just like, you know, I needed to do something more. And so I started to give my time around the youth and the traumatized youth. And I'd had my own experience as a young person with some child sexual abuse in our neighbors and whatnot, and as we were growing up. And so I had to do some work there. I had to heal from that. And so I really focused the next year during that 2017 era and just focused on healing and dealing with my own struggle there. And so I found my light at the end of the tunnel was really, I heard this great message or I heard this great saying from a young lady at Metanoia, which is a human trafficking home here in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. That a lot of folks need to check out. It's just an incredible mission. But I found a young lady said, I want to turn my mess into a message. And I thought, what an incredible thing for a 17-year-old to enlighten me with. And so that's really what I'm living by, trying to live by every day. So I'm trying to remember that my mess was terrible, but it's a message to bring other people to a healthier life, to a place of life.
That led you to working with the Baton Rouge Children Advocacy Group.
That's right. I worked with Baton Rouge Children's Advocacy Center, BRCAC, which is an incredible organization here in Baton Rouge. And really across the whole country, there's 800 children's advocacy centers plus across the country. That's where a child has a safe place to go and talk about an abusive experience without being intimidated by an officer or a gun. Or, you know, they're able to be interviewed one time. And it's a very safe environment. So I do recommend I just encourage you, if you have a family member, you know there's something happening, you know there may be even a suspect moment, you know, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Open up to your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let your children know that they have a safe place to talk and that you will listen and believe them. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned in that time with CAC. Yeah. But I taught 6,000 kids around the city of Baton Rouge for about a year. Between 5,000 and 6,000 kids, and that led me to my own work, which was to start my own nonprofit last year, as the board chair, the Songs of Survivors, which is an organization where we write songs, we create music with at-risk youth, with veterans, we have an opportunity to express your trauma through music, and so SOSmusic.org is our website. Check it out if you wanna either participate or you wanna support. SOSmusic.org is our site.
So. And again, you were in the military, so you can relate to veterans as well.
Absolutely. I'm Louisiana Army National Guard veteran myself. My brother's a senior officer here in the state. Huge support of our military. You know, our veterans and our active duty are the lifeline of our freedom and the foundation of our freedom. And if we don't recognize that, you know, I think that's something that's gotten lost, and I think we need to continue as we just came out of Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. Let's continue to say thank you to our veterans and our active duty every day.
Is it true that that's the only time you listen to your brother because he's
the officer? I don't know that I ever listen to him. No, I do call him sir, which I hope he's listening. I doubt it, but he's probably already working because, you know, they start at 4 a.m.
SOS is an all-volunteer organization.
We have one part-time worker who is an amazing, but she volunteers probably more than she makes, to be honest with you. But we're honored to have the support that we do. Olin Corporation in Plaquemine is our biggest supporter. Lieutenant Governor's office has been a huge support. We have 8 workshops coming up next year for veterans across the state in every major city in our state to support veterans. So if you are interested in, you know, a veteran or you know someone who would be able to participate and get something out of this, send us a message on SOSmusic.org.
Excellent, excellent. Real quick, what song would you like to play for us? We got to hear one tune before we wrap up.
I'll play a piece of a song. I don't know that I can make it through it all, but I'll try.
No, get started.
I wrote this song for our Axe Retreat as our theme song, and I'd like to share it, I think, with some of the public here.
Go ahead, brother.
Meek and undefiled, chosen to carry the Son of God, humbled in faith, blessed is the fruit and thy living grace, honored and adored. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Spoke with humility, the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy, holy, holy is his name. Holy, holy, holy is his name. We sing hallelujah, holy is his
the voice of David St. Romain. David, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you all for being on Wake Up this morning. And we are so glad you could join us. David's going to carry us out. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
We sing holy, holy, holy is his name. Holy is his name.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.